on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you. Lagos, Nigeria. Thank you for joining us. It's the last 1 hour of the show. It's Thursday. And you know that every Thursday we discuss health and health-related matters. And today, the same. That's what we're doing. I am Sheriff Quadri. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch us live on those two platforms. Earlier in January this year, the House of Representatives disclosed, quoting the WHO, as saying that 3 out of every 10 Nigerians have one form of mental illness or another. 3 out of 10. Okay. So at the time, a member of the Night Assembly, Honorable Uche Chukwu Nnamdi, representing the Ahoda West River State, quoted WHO saying that, quote, over 20 million Nigerians are currently suffering from various degrees of mental illness or disorder without psychiatric health care. He said 3 out of 10 Nigerians have one form of mental illness or the other. Presently, there is no mental health legislation in Nigeria. Honorable Nnamdi also moved a motion at that time titled Need to Address the Rising Cases of Mental Illness in Nigeria. What actually made our situation worse is that when you hear or when you see someone supposedly dealing with mental illness, we term to add religion and culture and tradition to everything. So it complicates the person's issue. We've had conversations such as this one as many times as possible on this show, and we'll continue with our advocacy on sensitizing the general public on mental illness and what we can do as a society, because it requires the effort of society to help people manage this. And I have a very capable hand. He's a senior registrar, Yaba Neuropsychiatric Hospital. Dr. Tomi Alalade is here with me. Dr. Tomi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sheriff. It's nice to be here again.
It's good to have you here. This morning, we are not talking about mental illness generally. I just needed to give that background, because what we're talking about is also part of that group mental illness. We're discussing schizophrenia. Dr. Tomi, what is schizophrenia?
Thank you. Schizophrenia can be defined as a chronic mental disorder that affects the way a person thinks, a person feels, a person perceives things, or in which the person sees things in reality. It's more of a problem of distortion with reality. So there's an abnormality in the person's perception. So when we talk about schizophrenia, it's more of the symptoms or the characteristics that characterize what the person is seeing. Like, for example, I mentioned a distortion in reality. Now, what does that mean? That means probably if you are seeing something as white, person with schizophrenia is seeing it in a different way. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
One of the symptomatology that characterizes schizophrenia, we
call them... Please slow down the English. What is symptomatology?
Okay, one of the clinical features, what you see
okay,
in somebody that has schizophrenia is what we call positive symptoms.
Okay.
An example is hallucinations. Now, someone with schizophrenia can start hearing voices of unseen people in clear consciousness without the person beside him hearing it. So hallucination generally is a perception in the absence of a corresponding stimuli. So I'm moving. I'm like, I can hear Sheriff talking to me. But Sheriff is not there. Sheriff is not saying anything. And I'm possibly asking everybody around me that, can't you hear Sheriff talking to me? But nobody is hearing. That's a form of hallucinatory experience.
So it's not that they are actually hearing.
Yes, that's why I said there's a distortion of reality. So what is real is different from what they are perceiving. So that's a characteristic amongst many other characteristics. So one of it could be an hallucinatory experience, so which could be auditory, like I mentioned.
Yes.
You know, you could see, I've seen a client who told me that he was on the Lagos Ibadan Express Road, and then he heard the voice that he should turn back. And then he reversed back on the expressway and then turned back. I've also experienced an occupational hazard in which a client stood up while speaking with him and he slapped me. And then I was like, what happened? It was like, the voices told me to slap you. So it's real to them. It's an abnormal, it's a perception without an abnormality in perception. Mm. That's a form of hallucination or delusion. It could be visual. The person could start seeing strange things other people are not seeing in clear consciousness and say, oh, I can see spirits, oh, I can see this thing. And it's real to them. It's a distortion in reality.
Someone said that. I'm sorry, Dr. Tomi. Let me just butt in here because the visual part is, you know, someone said there was a situation where one member of the family died. Now, this other woman, aged, had been, you know, suffering from hallucination and everything. Then she started seeing this person that died and she started panicking and running and everything. Then they accused her of killing the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible because at that moment, probably after the person died, maybe after the period of what we call a normal period of grief, the person started having the psychotic symptoms such that the death of the individual may have precipitated the illness in that person and started seeing strange things. Because most of the time, maybe when we go on, there's usually something precipitating the illness. So the hallucinations is just one of the symptoms, which I said could be auditory, could be visual, could be gustatory. Someone told me that anywhere he went to, there was a particular taste he was feeling in every food he ate. It started from his house and then moved. He said, oh, maybe it's my house that is giving me the taste. Went to various eateries and kept on saying he was having that particular bad taste. That's a form of hallucinatory experience, but in terms of taste.
Wow.
So one could have that as a characteristics. Apart from that, a very notable one again in the positive symptom scale is what we call a delusion. Now, delusions are beliefs that the person holds on to very seriously, despite no evidence to prove it. Mm. And it's not in keeping with the culture. I'll give you an example. You could see people that will start saying, I'm very sure that this woman wants to harm me. She's after my life. She wants to kill me. They are monitoring me. And they're wondering that, how does she want to kill you? Can you give me an evidence? This is the same woman that, or the same husband that you live with, that gives you things. If he wants to kill you, would have killed you. Like, they have that belief. They hold on to it, but they can't prove it that what they are believing is true.
And when they say these things, they're clear-minded. They sound very...
At that moment, yes, because they believe that it's real. So you say, oh, she wants to poison me, but you eat her food. So how is she poisoning you? And she hits from the same food. Mm. So there's no evidence to prove it. And there are different forms of delusions. There are delusions of jealousy. Some people could say, as Sharif is speaking on the radio, he's referring to me.
Oh,
that could be a delusion of reference.
I'm sorry, I'm not referring to anybody.
In which they just believe it so seriously and say, whenever Sharif is talking on the radio or whatever he's saying, is referring to me. Some feel that a broadcaster is referring to them and they believe it. There's no evidence to prove it. That could be a delusion, which would be a symptom in schizophrenia as part of the positive symptoms. So other symptoms...
There are negative symptoms.
Yes, there are negative symptoms of schizophrenia.
Let's talk about those ones.
So negative symptoms of schizophrenia, the meaning is the things that you expect to be there and they are not there. For example, you expect that someone should have motivation. Someone with a negative symptom of schizophrenia could be amotivational, not interested in anything, just not motivated to do anything. Someone with a negative symptom could have what we call a form of social withdrawal, would just want to be on himself, would not want to relate with people as expected to be, you know. That's a negative symptom. So,
is there any connection to depression?
Yes, there could be. You could have both of them existing. You could have one leading to the other.
Okay.
You understand? Okay. So there could be an interconnectivity between it. It's a spectrum. So yes, there could be some form of connection between both depression and schizophrenia. Mm. So those negative symptoms could be there. You could see some other persons. You could start from not just talking, you know. You just observe that this person is keeping to himself, not communicating with friends, not communicating with relatives and people around. And you're wondering, this person has cut everybody off. You know, those that have some of those abnormal beliefs or those beliefs, you just see that they're not picking anybody's calls. They're not friends. They don't chat with you on WhatsApp again. They cut off everybody because some of them feel that, let me stay on my own. Let me withdraw from people.
Can't all these things happen without tagging it schizophrenia?
So there's a duration.
Okay.
So when we say schizophrenia, yeah. there are things we are looking for to okay. make our diagnosis,
okay.
and then there's a time frame in which we're expecting it to occur. Mm. So if we are following the International Classification of Diseases,
yeah.
these symptoms must have been there for at least a month. You understand?
Consistently.
Before we make that diagnosis, you understand? It must have been there consistently for a month. Some people could feel as if Sheriff knows my thoughts, even without me saying it. So when you say something, they feel as if Sheriff is speaking my thought, like he speaks my thoughts. It could be what we call thought broadcasting. So you feel that other people around, they know what you are thinking. Or you feel as if other people are inserting their thoughts into your head. We call it thought insertion. This could be signs of schizophrenia. Common ones again, you could see someone that just has a decline in his hygiene. Like the person is not taking care of his bath, he's not concerned about his appearance. You're just wondering, oh, this person used to be neat. This person used to be cream and proper, dresses well. But right now, his shirt is flying, he's not combing his hair, he's not kempt, you know, nails are long, doesn't really care about how he looks again. It could be a sign because you could have a decline in hygiene. Some persons that comes to work regularly, you could see a decline in what we call occupational functioning. So the person is not doing as the person used to do again. You could be wondering, I hope there is no problem. And then we could see some other things when they are hearing the voices, possibly they start wondering, they could start wondering aimlessly. And then you see, oh, this person is walking to this place. This person has already gone this place. Yeah. So these are signs of some of the...
So they can just wander off.
They could, aimless wandering could be part of the signs. Because, okay, imagine if I probably hear the voice that tells me that, start moving towards Ekpe, or start walking towards that direction. I could start moving, like something is talking to me.
Is it the voices, are they so, I know that, I know you have not been there, so let me just ask, what is your job? Are the voices so compelling that the individual cannot resist?
Okay, so now, it also depends on the kind of voices they are hearing.
Okay.
Now, there could be a voice that we'll call delusion of control. The voice is probably controlling your actions and controlling what you are doing too. And you won't be able to resist because it's a control. Whoa. There are some that they hear these voices and they resist it. Like they don't want to obey what the voices are saying. Do you understand? So it all depends on, again, the level of insight the person has into the illness and how well the person is already doing. So the person feels that, oh, I know these things are abnormal. These things is telling me to do this, but I'm not going to do it. You hear them say it. And for some people, when they hear it, that's when you see them talking back to themselves.
Yeah.
And then you see them like, why is this person talking to himself? Why is this person doing this? And I need to make a clarification. Now, these voices we are talking of, for those people, it is real. It is you that you are seeing it as unreal. And respect to our religious people, we're not talking of, but I hear the Holy Spirit speaks to me. I hear this. We're not talking of that. These are voices that what you are hearing them tell you, others are not hearing them. It looks unreal. What you say is telling you to do. You understand? You could tell, sometimes the voices could talk directly. Sometimes you could say you are hearing the voices discussing about you, commenting on your actions. So these things, amongst other symptoms, is what we will use to classify and say this person has schizophrenia.
I mean, in your experience, have you been told ever that these voices can be familiar voices of somebody that they know?
Yeah, it could be. You know, there are characteristics of these voices whenever we are asking up to 17 questions as related to these voices.
Okay.
It could be familiar or unfamiliar. It could be of a male or female sex, you understand? It could be someone known, like we said, or unknown. It could be, are they talking to you? Are they discussing you? So some people will say, oh, I'm hearing the voice of my neighbor, and they'll mention it too. My neighbor downstairs is the one that is always talking to me. It's the one that wants to harm me, that is after my life, that's monitoring me, and is real to them. Like I mentioned, these things are problems to the individuals, and sometimes they don't recognize it. That's why we need people around to help them, because at that moment it is there.
It's real,
you understand. So these are the things.
But before we go and take people's reaction, there's something that I know oftentimes happens to a lot of people, that you just hear someone calls out your name. It could be your father, it could be your mother, but the person is not there, but to you, you are so sure that you heard the name, your name being called out. But then you're like, did you just call me? No, I didn't call you. Mommy, did you call me? No, I did not call you. What's that, Dr. Tomi?
Well, it could be at that moment there is a decrease in your perception, and that's why there's a problem of perception, and you feel that, oh, I can hear this voice and it's not there. Sometimes it happens.
Is that a sign?
It's not. No.
It's not a sign.
It must be, you know, when we say hearing this thing, yeah, it's consistent.
Okay.
There are other signs alongside
with it. You said for a month,
it.
Okay.
Yes, there are other things that you are asking questions on, yeah, trying to rule out, trying to, before you say, oh, this thing is this, or else we'll tell everybody and say, everybody has this thing. So there are other questions that comes along. It's just like probably maybe you are passing on the road at, yeah, night and then you see trees. And you feel that, oh, this looks like a snake. Really, yeah, there's no snake there, right? And
right.
It's not as if you will now start saying, but it's just a problem with perception. As at that moment.
Fantastic.
That's it. So it has to be. And then for a few people, you could see a disorganization in their behavior, yeah, the way they do. You know, their room could be very dirty, you know, disorganized. Like, things are not well arranged, it used to be. There's just a total decline or change in personality sometimes in some individuals with schizophrenia.
We're going to take some calls. Let's take one or two. I'm not sure we'll have time for two, but let's see if we can squeeze in just one. But 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71-90 for female callers only. Please make your thoughts very short because of time. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sharif.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dr. Itomi.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, my name is Bernard. I have been listening with rapt attention, and man, some of these things are scary, but they are real. Okay, so I have two questions. But number one is, do we think this could be spiritual? Like, does the doctor think there is a spiritual undertone to this thing? That's the first question. Now, the second one is, I know of someone,
okay,
a very close person, as a matter of fact,
okay,
who has some of the symptoms that the doctor ruled out. He was a very good writer. All of a sudden, he starts, like, his writing right now is terrible. Like, he can't even, like, piece sentences together. And then, of course, he was very, like, good-looking, neat and tidy. But now, of course, he doesn't, he's not neat anymore. I mean, just like the doctor said. So the question is, we tried to, like, okay, take him to the hospital, but he's living in denial, and he said no, he cannot go to the hospital because he feels everything is okay with him. And we have tried everything. What do you think we can do again, you know, to get this kind of people, you know, for the medical attention they require, even when they don't admit that they need it?
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
Very nice question. Very nice one. Dr. Tomi, you have to hold on. When we return, because we need to take this break, please, I hope you've noted down his questions.
Yes,
two
I
of
am.
Them. Okay, good. When we return, we'll attend to his question. Igwe Victor, I am really sorry I can't take you on right now. If you can wait on the line, I would appreciate it. If you can't, you need to hang up. Then we'll come back to you much later on. All right. Okay. Now, let's take some announcement. Mr. Moses is here. Once it's done, we'll go off on a break, then come back to continue our conversation with Dr. Tomi Alalade, Senior Registrar, Yaba Neuropsychiatric Hospital. Stay here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Nigeria Info. It's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire. I'm Sherif Quadri, Dr. Tomi Alalade, Senior Registrar, Yaba Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, is here with me, and we've been discussing schizophrenia on the program today. Before the break, we got a question. We got two questions from a caller. Dr. Tomi, let's dive in.
Okay, thank you very much. The person wanted to know if there's a spiritual undertone to schizophrenia, and that would lead me to just quickly mention pathway to care. See, a lot of us, because of our cultural beliefs and religious beliefs, once we have issues related to mental health, the first line of call we always think is spiritual, and then most people tend to present first in religious houses before they, after a while, is not getting fine and everything, okay, let's go medical. Or you have some pastors that have some knowledge about, oh, let's go medical. And a good number of these illnesses, once they come to the hospital, start medications, they start getting better. So what I tell people is this: we know medicine, we know these things with drugs and the necessary treatment, they get better. Be praying at home while you allow us manage them with the treatment that they need. So I wouldn't come and say, oh, there's a lot of spiritual undertone, but on a medical level, there are causes and there's treatment to it. And that's why I'm encouraging people, your pathway to care should not necessarily be that the first point of call, let's go to the pastor or the imam, and you are there for weeks and the illness is deteriorating. You can always come to the hospital. The next thing, the person mentioned, how can he help the individual?
Yeah.
It described the symptoms very well. It said he's already having some disorganized speech, behavior, and everything. Sometimes with a client that has schizophrenia, you have irrelevant speech. So you are talking to the person, and you see the person is derailing. You are saying this, he's saying another thing. Or you start a conversation, and from the answer you're expecting, the word go, it veers off point straight away from there. So it could be there. Now, how do you help difficult people? Like I said, it's real to them. They don't see a problem. A lot of them don't have insight into the illness. So it's friends, families, close people that would encourage the person to seek help. So if you bring in people that can encourage him and he's not agreeing to it, you could just say, okay, let's go to the hospital for a checkup. Because a lot of people, because of stigma, they don't want to hear mental health. Now, you could go to a regular hospital, so to speak, and just say, let's go for a checkup. And from there, you could now invite a therapist or a psychiatrist to see. And from there, you could work on it. So you could do that as an option. And there are professional people, too, that actually help to see that individuals could be moved from their house to the hospital, too.
Oh, there are people like that?
Yeah, they are professionals.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
What do they do? They have muscle.
No. It's not by muscle, really, because there's something we call different ways of escalation. There's a way you can talk to someone and the person can actually professionally.
I'm not even going to argue with you.
We're not aggressive.
Let's take some more calls. 0700-993-993-993. Me, I want to know the causes of this. Okay. But let's, as you can see, Dr. Tumi, all the lines are buzzing. Let's see if we can get this person on. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Adeshawa on the line.
You're welcome.
Please, doctor, is there a specific age? Because there's this GSS3 boy in my class. Sometimes if I'm, let's just say, for example, now I said, what is a wild animal? He'll stand up and say, cop. So is there an age?
Is it age related? Okay. All right. Oh, we lost Adeshawa's call eventually. Let's speak with, is it Chris? Okay, let's speak with Chris in Koi. Hi, good morning.
Morning, Sheriff.
Oh, Christiana.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you very much, and I want to say hello to your wonderful guest. I would say your guest is spot on. My reason for calling this morning is to ask, does this sickness or this disease, so it's called, is it curable? Or is it something you just treat and you manage? And my reason for this question is because I have a very close family member who is also suffering from this disease.
Okay.
And the description your guest, shared with us earlier is exactly what it's, what person is manifesting.
Okay.
And we've been on this for like a decade now.
Oh.
So we've taken the person to hospital. In fact, we took the person to the psychiatric hospital, Ayaba.
Okay.
And, medications were prescribed and all that. But as we speak, she's still on those medications because the moment you fail to give her, she starts, manifesting the symptoms again, and it's worrying and all that.
Okay.
So I just want to know, is it something that is curable or is it something we just continue to manage, only God knows, and it's something that has been bothering me for some time.
Yeah.
So I think I should just,
Great question, Christiana. Great question. Okay, so let's do the two. Age.
Okay, thank you very much. For the age, now, schizophrenia, it occurs in both sexes, male, female, almost at a ratio 1-to-1. It starts a bit earlier in males than in females. So based on literature, it could start as early as the age of 15 to 25 for males. And then you could start having it around that time to the age of 35 for females. So, yes, but it's slightly earlier in males than females. And it could start as early as the age of 15 years of age. Yes, so you could have it. And when we talk about the causes, we could decipher why a child of 15 years could start manifesting symptoms of schizophrenia. Okay. I'll go there now, but let me answer the second question about is it curable?
Yeah.
The definition from schizophrenia, like I said, is a chronic mental illness. Now, when something is chronic, we manage it. So we don't say we are curing schizophrenia, we are saying we are managing it. So it's an ongoing management. Okay. Just like other chronic illnesses. Mm. We talk about hypertension, we talk about diabetes, which are chronic illnesses.
Right.
I know that for majority of people, once they make that diagnosis, they are usually on their medications. Mm. You could reduce the dose, you could increase it based on the improvement.
Yeah.
It's also similar to managing schizophrenia.
Okay.
A person is on the drug, but we'll keep looking and adjusting the dose based on the clinical improvement that we are seeing.
Mm.
And so people need to know that it's something that most of the time they have to be on the medications.
Mm.
And if they are not compliant with the drug use, that's one of the number one reason why the person could have a relapse. So you are like, oh, this person has broken down again. This person is this. It could be due to poor drug compliance.
Mm.
And it could also be to stressful life events that now makes the person break down again and come down with the illness. Quickly delving into the causes to know, especially why a 15-year-old would probably have it.
Exactly.
Now, number one cause that we talk about is genetics. Genetics play a very huge role in the etiology of schizophrenia. If both parents have schizophrenia, for example, the children have a 40% chance of having schizophrenia. If one parent has schizophrenia, the children have about 12% chance of having schizophrenia.
Okay, so it drops.
So if it's one parent.
Yeah.
So that shows that the children could always have it.
It's hereditary.
So it's hereditary. Mm. It has up to 60 to 80% heritability in schizophrenia. So it's hereditary. So genetic malformations, you have some genetic problems too. It could lead to it. We also talk about issues such as obstetric complications.
Mm.
So a child that probably has a birth asphyxia, or those are risk factors now, the birth asphyxia or the maternal infection that was not properly treated.
Mm.
We've seen cases in which that could be the root cause of the child coming down with schizophrenia. There are also problems with different what we call chemicals or neurotransmitters in the brain.
Mm.
You could have dopamine, for example. Studies have shown that there's an elevated form of dopamine. So when we are giving drugs to reduce or bring down that dopamine in the brain. So that could also be part of the causes. Again, those that smoke, substance abuse, cannabis use could lead to a psychotic problem, could lead to schizophrenia.
Mm.
So start smoking marijuana and you are feeling good with yourself, that you are getting some benefits. The person could land with schizophrenia in a matter of time.
Shishanko, those people that
all those
shisha.
Things are all those substances, they are all risk factors for coming down with a mental health illness in future. They are all short term, long term, the risk is there.
So for this pupil that caller mentioned, it could be hereditary.
It could be hereditary, especially looking at the age. Most likely I expect that maybe a child in GS3 will be like 14, 15
around
years
that,
old.
Yes.
So it could be genetic, you know. So when we tell people that, is there any family history? It's not directly about only my father and my mother.
Yeah.
Because even grandparents having it, you know, that's about a 6% chance of another person coming down with the illness. So when we talk about family history of mental illness, we are spreading the wings all around to be able to pick it and know where it's coming from.
Mm. I have tons of questions. My lines are buzzing. Where should we take one from? Let's do Facebook. Akintai on Facebook says he has two questions. What is the difference between schizophrenia and bipolar disorder? Then secondly, is it true high cerebral people are more prone to mental disorders or schizophrenia in particular?
Okay, thank you. Schizophrenia is, both of them are mental disorders, right? But schizophrenia is grouped more in what we call psychosis. It's a problem in which all those symptoms I told you, disorganized thinking, negative symptoms, and positive hallucinations, delusions.
Yeah. Yeah.
For bipolar disorder, it's more of a mood problem. Now, there are other symptoms that comes across with bipolar disorder. The duration in which you expect the symptoms, for example, depression.
Mm.
We talk about there could be low mood, reduced energy. We are looking at the duration of 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
in schizophrenia, we're looking at a duration of 1 month,
mm-hmm.
alongside with the type of change in behavior that we are seeing. So we are able to assess which one does it look more likely or which one is it not likely.
Mm.
So that's it. Bipolar, like we mentioned, it could be depression, it could be mania.
Mm.
And in mania, we know there's increased energy, they're spending money extravagantly. So these symptomatologies will help us differentiate. The duration will help us differentiate. The voices they are hearing, the type of voices, there's what is usually expected in a depressive disorder. There's what, but one could complicate the other. Somebody with depression could still have a psychosis alongside with the depression.
Mm.
Is it commoner in highly cerebral people? Well, yeah. Truth about it is schizophrenia is it cuts across really. It's not as if it is particular, but yes, we know that studies have shown or research has shown that some cerebral people also come down with it. But then, if there is genetic manifestation in someone that is not highly cerebral, yeah. It will still come down with the illness.
That's right.
So,
that's right. Okay. All right. Let's take one call then. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, sorry, can I be anonymous?
That's fine.
Okay. So, hi, good morning to the doctor in the house.
Good morning.
I just wanted, I have a question at the end, but I thought that schizophrenia was for those that were of the older age, not until I had a friend in university that was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And it was a whole lot, but at the end of the day, she was diagnosed, it was out of the country actually, and then she was taking medications, we were following up with her, she was fine. Later, she had to move home closer to her parents, she quit her job. And it seemed like everything was going on well, you know, until I got the call sometime last year that she had committed suicide. She was like my best friend. And I guess I keep thinking in my head that was there anything else we could have done? Was there anything more we could have done? She was taking her medications. She was getting better. I spoke to her parents on, like, you know, weekly or monthly, and, you know, they were saying she was getting better. She already even got a new job. You know, she was about to start a new job.
Mm.
And then we got that call that, it was a drastic one. She had bought a gun and shot herself in the head.
Oh.
And I just can never get out of my head. So I just wanted to use this opportunity to ask that, was there more we could have done
okay.
to save her life?
All right. Thank you. Add this to her question. Could schizophrenic people be suicidal?
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. To the caller, sorry about the loss. I can only imagine how difficult it is for you. However, please don't blame yourself. You tried. The person was using the medications as much as you said he was using it. However, for the age, just to mention, there could be late onset schizophrenia, really, apart from the ages I mentioned.
Okay.
Someone with schizophrenia could actually also be suicidal. In fact, suicide happens to be one of the complications in someone with schizophrenia.
Mm.
They could have suicide possibilities or suicide tendencies.
Mm.
So yes, as a complication with some people with schizophrenia. Again, apart from that, there's something called post-schizophrenic depression.
Oh.
Someone with schizophrenia after recovering.
Yeah.
Could now start having a depressive disorder, you know, starting to think of, for example, maybe they tore their clothes when they were in the illness, they tore their clothes, they were running helter-skelter, people said they were walking naked on the streets, they now got better, and they were listening to all what happened to them.
Mm.
It could lead to a depressive disorder. So it could be a post-schizophrenic depression in the individual, and the individual now has a depressive disorder on its own. Again, someone with schizophrenia does not mean it can't have depression coming in at any point in time, apart from the schizophrenia.
Oh.
Because he's also facing life stressors, he's also facing life events, and could also have had a depressive disorder, comorbid, working alongside with the schizophrenia that is being managed.
Yeah.
And there are medications for depression. So if it's only for the schizophrenia that the person is using drugs for, and not the depression, we are not yet treating that depressive aspect of it. So yes, they could coexist together. It could happen after the schizophrenia has been treated, and suicide can also be a complication in clients that have schizophrenia.
Okay, like so me, let me go to WhatsApp. I have questions for you here on WhatsApp. This person says, doctor, please, is it true that too much reading or too much studying can cause schizophrenia?
No, it's not.
Okay, all right. That was short. Okay, let's take another one. Steven Struleri says, okay, I think I've asked you this one, and you said no. Whether schizophrenia manifests through lucid dreams. That's just a question. Whether it manifests through lucid dreams.
No. It's not. It's not. Those are. That's not part of the typical manifestation from schizophrenia. No. Mm.
And we've discussed the causes of schizophrenia. Anything you want to add to the causes?
No, generally, those are the causes. However, we must understand.
Someone is mentioning whether he heard that bitterness, when someone is always bitter and bitter and bitter.
No, that's not. But then the truth about it is, we must know that someone that already has schizophrenia now, diagnosed, and is already being treated, could also have a relapse. And so it's not like, oh, he's been treated, he's fine, he's good. No. The drug use must be consistent. Even while using the drug, follow-up care is also very important. Managing stressors, stressful life events is also important, because while using the drug, if the stressors are overwhelming, it could precipitate another relapse. So stressors, by that I mean relationships, work, functionality, all those things, if there are issues around there, it could lead to a further relapse. And then the truth about another stressor, which is a big one, is stigma. You know, from stigma from self, stigma from family, all those things could lead to another breakdown, or stigma in the workplace, depending. So these things need to be well managed for the person to continue. And again, I must say, someone with schizophrenia, that does not stop the person from living a good life. That does not stop the person. The person can achieve and do what is meant to do, can return back to functioning if it's well managed. Yes, there are a few cases where you have issues in which it might be difficult in returning back to the pre-morbid functioning. Yeah. However, for a good number of them, they can return back to functioning.
Like, Tommy, we can't take all these calls, and I can't go through all these messages. Is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
Okay, well, I would like to say that people should please take their mental health more seriously.
Okay.
Mental health is wealth. The awareness is increasing and improving. You can always walk into the hospital and you will be well attended to. I work in Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, and trust me, it's a very nice place to be if you have a mental illness. We would manage you properly and you will be better off after.
Do you have a social media account?
Yes, I do.
Please give it out so people can reach out to you.
Okay, so on Twitter is Obatomi. Okay. Double I. Obatomii.
Okay, Obatomi. Okay, with double I at the end. Yes, on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Instagram.
Instagram, Obatomi. Double I.
Double I, the same thing. All right. Dr. Tomi Alalade, Senior Registrar, Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital, Yaba, is our guest. Has been the guest this morning. Dr. Tomi, thank you so much for coming around.
Thank you very much, sir.
Always a pleasure to have you. Always. Never a dull moment.
Thank you very much.
Having you on this show. Hopefully, I'll drag you back in here because I have other... like I said, the plan is to create more awareness on mental, you know, health. Hopefully, we've started this before now, right? So we'll continue. That's our show today, Lagos. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'll see you tomorrow at 7:30. Bye for now.
This is an infomercial.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.